ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्टर्स् बोत्, मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both a fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been studying the fourth section about the Vijnanamaya Kosha and just got introduction to the Anandamaya Kosha. Now there are certain important points with regard to this Vijnanamaya Kosha. And what is it? As soon as a person, person means sadhaka, not everybody, but only a spiritual person, identifies totally with this Vijnanamaya Kosha, what would be his condition? The first condition would be for him, the body, then the prana and the mind, they becomes anatmas. That means they are not real or they are not considered as real, but not non-existent. They will be real, but only as an aid to this Vijnanamaya Kosha. We have to note that if body, prana and mind are not there, Vijnanamaya Kosha also cannot be known, cannot even get sustained, because it is the Pranamaya Kosha and Manomaya Kosha and Annamaya Kosha which carries out the commandments of the Vijnanamaya Kosha. In fact, no kosha is absolutely illusory or unreal. The whole point is that once we know what we are, then Annamaya becomes Brahma, Brahman. Pranamaya becomes Brahman. Manomaya becomes Brahman. Vijnanamaya becomes Brahman. Anandamaya becomes Brahman. Nothing becomes unreal. It's only at the stage of sadhana when it is said that a person should consider the world as mithya, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. It all means that first you come to know what is Brahman, what's your relationship? And this is like climbing a staircase. This is the only way to know that we are Brahman. And once we reach Brahman, that means feel that we are one with Brahman. Remember, Brahman cannot be seen, Brahman cannot be experienced as a second object outside me. I am Brahman, Brahman is me. There is only one reality. There cannot be two infinites, two eternals. When such a stage is reached, such a person looks upon everything as Brahman. It is only to lead a sincere spiritual aspirant to this state that whatever I am experiencing as Saguna Brahma, the whole universe is nothing but Saguna Brahma, is also Brahman. Nirguna Brahman is also Brahman. That is the idea. To briefly recollect, what does this Vijnanamaya Kosha consists of? So, earlier we have seen Manomaya Kosha. What does it consist? Of thoughts. What are thoughts? Knowledge. What is the knowledge? Secular and spiritual knowledge. And that is where, then, how to behave in this world, how to also progress towards God, both for both these activities, we require the guidance. So that is why we have seen that tasya yajureva siraha. So like that yajurveda, rigveda, samaveda and adharvana veda, all the vedas, their only purpose is to gradually lead an aspirant from the lowest stage, which is called annamaya kosha, to the highest stage, which is aham brahmasmi. Remember, even anandamaya kosha is also a limitation, because wherever we get the word kosha, it means limitation. Yes, ananda, full of ananda. Maya means filled with ananda. But you don't use that word filled with regard to Brahman. There is nothing to fill, nothing to be filled. There is no duality there. So it is said that is the constitution of the manomaya kosha. Then the person knows in course of time he does a lot of things. First, tentatively, so he does something. He learns a lesson. Then if I had committed a mistake, oh, next time I should not commit this mistake. If I had done the right thing, then he would proceed every time in the same way. How do we know? Because whenever something is right, it gives more ananda. Whenever something goes wrong, it gives more unhappiness. That is the definite way of understanding what is right, what is not right. So here is a person, and this manomaya kosha is filled with subtler than, more pervasive, and controlling the manomaya kosha. That is called vijnanamaya kosha. Mind has got jnanam, knowledge. But vijnanamaya kosha has got visesha jnana. But here, we should not confuse it with the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. Jnanam is a lower stage. Vijnanam is a higher stage. When Sri Ramakrishna is talking, jnanam is the firm knowledge that everything is Brahman. Vijnanam, after directly experiencing, I am Brahman, the person looks upon the entire creation also as Brahman. That special way of seeing everything as Brahman, that is called Visesha Jnana. And that is what is Sri Ramakrishna meant by Vijnana. But here Vijnana means that which controls the mind. How does it control the mind? That is, that psychology in the most succinct, clearest way is being indicated here. We will just go through it. Eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha anandam brahmano vidvan na vibheti kadachaneti. As soon as a person slowly identifies himself or entered into the vijnanamaya kosha and is striving to completely identify himself with vijnanamaya kosha, he cannot describe in psychological language this particular state. That means thoughts fail, words fail. Naturally, that is what he said, yato vacho nivartante, speech unable to understand, because it doesn't know what is vijnanamaya kosha. So it cannot describe. Aprapya manasa saha. So mind itself doesn't understand. And when something is not understood, it cannot be expressed, it cannot be spoken out, it cannot be conveyed for others. But then, how does a person understand that I have transcended the mind? Anandam brahmano vidvan. Two things happen. His mind is filled with ananda, vidvan. Here vidvan means the sadhaka who has succeeded in identifying himself with the vijnanamaya kosha. How do we know? Na vibheti kadachaneti. He is not assailed. He is not troubled by fear. Fear always comes when something wrong is done. This person is totally identified with God, in the sense that he has complete trust, like the kitten, in the words of Sri Ramakrishna. It doesn't question the mother cat, are you taking the right decision? Are you doing the right action? Complete faith, it allows the mother to carry wherever the mother thinks it is safe for its baby, unlike the young one of a monkey. So, one is fearlessness. And when we become fearless, then we become happy. Very interesting thing. I just want to dwell because such marvelous ideas are embedded in the statements of the Upanishads. Remember, whenever a Upanishad is talking about God, about spiritual practices, there are certain things which cannot be understood by the mind. But there are certain things which can be understood through deep thinking, churning, called manana, and they are psychological, because everything is psychological only. So long as mind functions, everything is psychological only. Supposing a person meets another person, and then a lot of unconscious thinking goes on. Is this person okay? Is he dangerous? So can I spend time with him? But the moment we come to know, he is a drunkard. He has a gun in his hands, and I have seen him shooting here and there, injuring or killing people. You don't think twice. The mind has already made a decision. This is a fearful situation, bhaya. But you have met another person, very smiling, gentle, and good vibrations are coming. Then you speak with him. Then you understand, oh, this person is very good. So if we trust our unconscious, it can do a lot of good things for us. But if we go on suspecting everybody is out to cheat me, to harm me, to deprive me, such a doubting mind, that is one of the worst mental diseases. We should not doubt anything until someone proves that that person is a doubtful person, that event is a doubtful event, that food is not a suitable food. Of course, we have to exercise our viveka, but at the same time, not go across over that line. Very important. So here are two indications are there. A person becomes fearless and his mind becomes filled with ananda. So that is how, when a person takes the right decision, and then this, he becomes fearless, and then he also becomes filled with bliss. When this person develops certain qualities, that is very important. To understand the statements of these two lines, rather three lines, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha anandam brahmano vidvan na bibheti kadachaneti. Three lines. When can we understand? When we fulfill certain conditions. What are the conditions that is being described in the form of the Vijnanamaya Kosha is imagined to be a human being, and just like the previous descriptions following our idea of the body. Here is a human being. He has a head. He has got two hands, right hand, left hand, and from neck below until the legs start, that is called the middle part, and then this whole body is carried forward by legs, whether it is an animal or a human being, etc. So that, in the case of the Annamaya Kosha, is a fact. But as soon as we enter into Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, there is no such physical gross body. But for the sake of contemplation, that is being described here. So, these are the characteristics of Vijnanamaya Kosha. Tasya Shraddha Eva Siraha Ritam Dakshina Pakshaha Satyam Uttara Pakshaha Yoga Atma Mahaha Pucham Pratishtha. With regard to the authenticity of these characteristics and this entire description of the Vijnanamaya Kosha, there is a Rig Mantra, and this we have seen, Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. First, let us discuss these things again, so that we understand these are characteristics which will take us forward towards our goal, that is the realization of God, realization of Brahman. So it is said, its head is faith, Shraddha, its right wing is truth, Ritam, Its left wing is reality satyam, its central part is called yoga, and its foundation is Mahaha. And then there is also a verse, Rigvedic verse, regarding this. Let us analyze this one. Then we will understand properly. So, what happens? When a person slowly starts identifying with this Vijnanamaya Kosha, and then what happens to this person? This person, he is slowly progressing, identifying himself with Mahaha. Mahaha means Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the totality of the three bodies in the three body model. Gross body, subtle body and causal body. So the collective universal aspect of subtle body is called Hiranyagarbha. But if we take this five kosha model, then the Annamaya kosha corresponds to the gross body. The Anandamaya kosha corresponds to the causal body. And the three koshas, prana, mana and vijnana, correspond to the sukshma sarira, subtle body. The subtle body is divided in this five sheath model into three parts. The collective aspect of all pranas, the collective model of all the minds, and the collective model of all the intellects. So, sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, Mahaha. So, that is what is being talked about here. Now only we can understand what it means, and we will try to understand what is this. What does this Vijnanamaya Kosha do? Vijnanam Yajnam Tanute. So this Vijnana means decision, intellect. Here intellect, in English language, is intellect. It means after thinking that whatever decision a person takes, so it is mixed up. But according to Hindu Vedantic teaching, this is an entirely different issue. So this Vijnanamaya Kosha, it gets all the information from the mind. And what does the mind say? See, the Yajurveda says this one, the Rigveda says like this, the Samaveda is telling like this, Yadharvena Adharvana Veda is teaching this, that information, that this action, whether it is a secular action or spiritual action, every activity, that is called karma. So, and these karmas are divided into two parts. There are certain type of activities which you do not need to think too much about. So, for example, I want to go out for a walk. One doesn't need to exert a huge intellect. So, shall I start now? Shall I start after 1 hour? And which garden I walk into, etc. If anybody is doing, really we have to consider that person as minus intellect. They should not take long time. What breakfast should I have? Think 45 minutes. No, decide instantaneously. Make a program and you just follow it mechanically. That is the good result of habit. So, vijnanam, all activities, one is called spiritual activity. Any action can be secular, any action can be spiritual. If a person, for example, is eating food, that can be a purely secular activity. But the same person is a devotee, he does it with Brahmarpanam. The food is coming from Brahman, and the same Brahman is manifest within me as Vaishvanara Agni, and he is manifesting in the form of the prana, is manifesting in the form of the mind. In fact, this is a marvelous concept. Same Brahman is manifesting as my body, as my prana, as my mind, as my intellect, as my Anandamaya Kosha, as my Sthula Sarira, Karana Sarira, and Sukshma Sarira, and Karana Sarira. And there is nothing called I. Everything is Brahma. This is called Yajnam. But without relating it to God, if we only relate it to Me, my body, my gross body, my subtle body, and my causal body. That is called a cause of bondage, maya, avidya. So, this is what the Upanishad is trying. Vijnanam yajnam tanute, karmani tanute picha. Let us discuss these two. What does this vijnanam do? That whatever actions we do, certain actions, every action, as I said, can be spiritualized. As they say in the Shiva Manasa Puja. So if I move my hands, I am performing esper service. If my legs are moving, I am doing circumambulation of Bhagavan, Vishnu or Shiva. If I am talking something, I am hymning the Divine Mother, etc. Every activity can be spiritualized. And that is the purpose of this, all these studies and practice. But how to convert? Because we are all starting our life as a secular people, so we just know how to satisfy our body and mind, but we have turned to spiritual life. Therefore, there is a methodology how to climb higher and higher. How? By turning every second of our life, every activity of ours into a yajna. Yajna arthat karmano anyatra. Bhagavan Krishna says, if we do not turn every activity into the worship of God, that very activity becomes a source of bondage. Even if we are doing dharma, dharma produces punyam. Punyam gives sukham. And one of the worst, strongest bonds that bind us to the samsara is a punyam. Papam gives dukkham. What happens? When we are suffering, naturally, instinctively, we try to escape from it. But when we are enjoying something, naturally, instinctively, we want to be bound, we become attached to it. We want it, same state, again and again. And so, punyam is more bondage producing than papam. That is why God created so much of misery. Misery is a gift of God, so that if we do not turn towards God with good advice, good counsel, then God will punish us. That punishment is not a punishment. It is a loving call of our Divine Mother. Oh Mother, you are trying to awaken us and saying plaintively, my child, I cannot live without you. Please come to me. Come running to me. I want to feed you. I want to nourish you. I want to hug you. And if a child is immersed in this play, then mother will have no other choice but to pull the child by the scruff of his neck or by the hair of his head. That's why South India, they put huge shikhas so that the guru or even parents can catch hold of it, this fellow, slippery fellow, because he puts lot of coconut oil, very slippery fellow. So, it is the buddhi that decides this is an ordinary action. It's not going to help you very much, my child. But if you do the same thing, you don't need to expend money or energy or time. For example, I'm drinking water. Don't say I'm drinking water. Say, Mother, Jaladevata is entering into me. I'm eating food, munching something. Annapurna is entering into me. I want warm clothing. So the body can become a little more comfortable. And that is Agni Devata wants to hug me. I want to breathe fresh air. Vayu Devata, I want to move freely. Akasha Devata, everything is a Devata. Same, all the activities I am doing anyway. But if I can relate, whenever I am eating, Mother out of her infinite grace is entering into me in the form of this food. Devotees already do that. Because when they offer to God, and whatever is being consumed after offering it to God, that is what we call prasadam. And what is the prasadam? God himself has touched it, purified it. Pavitrata. That idea of pavitrata is called godliness. So this is how we have to spiritualize every secular activity. And who can do that? Vijnanam. Vijnanam means right understanding, right decision. And that is why it is said, this person is endowed with Shraddha and all those things. I will come to that. So, Vijnanam Yajnam Tanute. Whenever a person wants to do any Yajna or he wants to do normal activities, which normal activities? What is the right way of doing it? When to do it? How to do it? How long to do it? This is the intellect automatically has to do it. But for the intellect to make it automatic, we have to train it for a long time. Just like a baby doesn't want to brush its teeth, but the mother goes on helping the baby do that. And after some time, it becomes an unconscious act. So, consciously, with attention, we have to develop certain types of habits, and that is what then intellect has to direct. This is the right way. This is the only way. Do this. And that is the function of the Vijnanamaya Kosha. That is what he said. Vijnanam Yajnam Tanute. How to convert even an ordinary action into a sacrificial act. Intellect. Why? Because it believes in the Vedas. And Vedas instruct us to do that. And therefore the intellect has faith in it. And it helps us to live that kind of life. Whatever actions we do, even as I said, secular activities also have to be converted into only spiritual activities. There is nothing called purely secular activity. I am eating. It's not a secular activity. Who is eating? It is Bhagavan. From outside, who is supplying the food? Bhagavan. And who is digesting what I am eating? Bhagavan. Who is converting the food into prana? Bhagavan. Who is distributing that prana into these five different activities? Pranadevata. And if something is unhealthy, not suitable for the body, that has to be thrown out. We do not understand. When a person eats unhealthy food and the stomach rebels and there is a sensation of vomiting, that act of vomiting is one of the functions of the prana, to throw out in the form of vomiting, throw out, so that the body can cool in the form of sweat, throw out undigested matter and help the jiva get out of this body. All these are one particular duty of one particular aspect of prana. And who is this pranam? Prana devata. And therefore, devaha means enlightened people. What do they do? Vijnanam, that is what is called Mahaha, Hiranyagarbha, because it is from him all the knowledge comes, decisions come. That is called Sharanagati. Let thy will be done. When we are singing, O Divine Mother, Shokali Tomari Ichha, who is telling? It is the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Without any doubt, everything is happening. No doubt about it. And that, whatever doubts, is called Manomaya Kosha. Is it true? Is it the Divine Mother? Or am I misinterpreting it? But when it comes to Vijnanamaya Kosha, Shraddha Eva Siraha is absolutely true. This is what the Rishi told. The bhajan was composed by a Rishi, advanced, realized spiritual person. It is absolutely true. That Shraddha is there. So therefore it is a Divine Mother and therefore it is good. Whatever Divine Mother does, that's good. So that is why all the Devas, Deva means who? Sincere spiritual seekers who are wanting to realize God. They have this faith. Survey all this. Everybody. Nobody can escape. Everybody has to do. What should they do? Brahma Jestam Upasate. So he must do contemplation. That means approach slowly. Whom? Brahma. Brahma means who? Hiranyagarbha here. And Hiranyagarbha is called Jyeshtha. Because from Hiranyagarbha only the intellect has come, and the mind has come, and the prana has come, and the body has come. That's why it's called Jyeshtha. Jyeshtha means elderly. Elderly means who came earlier. So, Brahman, the highest reality, has become Saguna Brahma or Ishvara, or in Sri Ramakrishna's words, Shakti. And that Shakti, also called Maya, with the help of the three gunas, does the Srishti Sthiti Laya. So everything has come from Brahman only finally, but we have to contemplate and identify ourselves means, I am nothing, I am not doing it. It is Bhagavan in the form of Vijnanamaya Kosha and Manomaya Kosha and Pranamaya Kosha who is conducting this whole orchestra, and he alone is doing, I do not even exist. Or if I exist, it is also because of Hiranyagarbha only. So, all the devas, that means all the purified people, I am interpreting it, deva means shining ones. Shining ones means their intellect is crystal clear. They understand it. Brahma Jyeshtam Upasate. What happens? They have that knowledge. Everything is Hiranyagarbha. I am nothing. That is what he said. Vijnanam Brahma Chayad Veda. These sadhakas, they realize in the end, every one of them. What is it? Vijnanam is the Brahma. Brahma means that is the cause, final cause. Though we will come to the other part of it later on, but for now, he is the final cause. And a person has no doubt about it. He has realized the intellect, the mind, and the prana, all the three combined, he is called Hiranyagarbha. Here, Vijnanam Brahma means Hiranmaya Hiranyagarbha Brahma, Chedveda. He alone is running the show, and my intellect, my mind, and my vital energy is only an infinitesimal part of this Hiranyagarbha. When this realization comes, what happens? Tasmat Chet na pramadyati. Such a person never, in Sri Ramakrishna's words, takes a false step. Pramadyati. It doesn't fall into danger. Not only that. Sharire papano papmano hitva. He overcomes all the papmas, papas, sins. Why? Because a sinful thought never enters into such a person. And that means he will do only what is absolutely right, what is satyam, what is ritam. He will do only vidhi, and he will never even think of doing nishedha. What happens? Sarvan kaman samashnuta iti. He enjoys all the enjoyments, but his enjoyment is not physical gross enjoyment, but it is something far superior. As we said, Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, Dharmananda. We can say that Dharmananda is equal to this Vijnanananda. Sarvan Kaman Samashnuta Iti. That is why this worship of Hiranyagarbha as the controller, as the ruler, as the real cause of everybody's intellect, which includes my own intellect, that is the best contemplation. Then what happens? Then we realize. What do we realize? Yadevi sarva bhuteshu buddhi rupena samsthita. Until now, I am thinking that it is my intellect which is making things clear to me. No. Not your intellect. It is the Divine Mother. Out of her infinite grace, she bestowed that right understanding. And that is what he said. What Upanishad says, Durga Saptasiti puts it in this form. So, Sarva Bhuteshu, every being, Buddhi Rupena. What is Buddhi? Absolute certain knowledge. This is not that. That Buddhi. Once a person is endowed with that Buddhi, and he thinks, oh Mother, you have bestowed. This is what every upper caste person is supposed to pray. In what way? In the form of the Gayatri Mantra, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. I meditate, भूर्भुवस्व तत् सवितुः वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो योनः प्रचोदयात्. दैट डिवाइन मदर अलोन. एंड व्हेन वी रीच दैट स्टेट, इवन दीज वर्ड्स, दिस इज विष्णु, दिस इज शिव, दिस इज मेल, दिस इज फीमेल, दिस इज ओनली शक्ति, ऑल दीज रब्बिश आइडियाज टोटली डिसअपीयर एट दैट स्टेज. बिकॉज एज सून एज वी ट्रांसेंड physical gross body idea, there is no male, no female. So when in the common parlance, when a baby's form takes place, he is in the form of atoms, and in that atoms you are a male atom, you are a female atom. Such idea would never occur at all. It is only after the formation of the physical body. Prana is neither female nor male. Mind is neither male nor female. Buddhi is neither male nor female. Ananda is neither male nor female. What a marvelous idea we are talking about. So that is what we have to tell. Now we have to understand something very, very wonderful. So what is that we have to understand here in this Vijnanamaya Kosha? Shraddha eva siraha. So, like our head, in this Vijnanamaya Kosha's head, imagined, as I said, Shraddha, absolute faith, that what the Vedas say is absolutely right. I am using the word Veda, but we have to use the word, really speaking, scripture. If it is Christians, it is what is called New Testament, not even the Old Testament, but the New Testament. If it is Buddhist, Buddhist Pitaka, what Bhagavan Tathagata or Buddha Deva had taught. So, like that we have to understand. And then, the faith is there. Then, what is the right hand? Ritam Dakshina Paksha. Ritam means what? Right understanding of the Vedic teachings, the meaning of the Vedas. That is called Ritam. Right understanding is another translation of the word Ritam. That is called right hand. Because once a person has got faith, you know, there are many fanatical religious people who do not care what their scripture is telling. They say, this is our interpretation and I am God. So my interpretation alone is right. Even if Christ comes, Allah comes, we will not care. They cannot correct these people. They replace Allah or Jesus Christ, God, and place themselves in their places. No, you understand rightly. How do we understand? Because it leads to Satyam, it leads to Jnanam, it leads to Anantam and Anandam. So, Ritam means what? Right understanding of the scriptural teaching. That is the right hand compared to right hand. What is the left hand? Satyam. What is Satyam? Putting into practical use, molding our life in accordance with the scriptural teaching. That is called Satyam. Ritam is right understanding. Satyam is putting what we know to be right into day-to-day, minute-by-minute practice. Practical Vedanta. That's what Swami Vivekananda said. Then what is the middle part, or that which is the most important part? Yoga Atma. What is yoga? Yoga means every second I must be aware. Am I taking the right path? Am I progressing towards the right goal? Or am I sliding back? Because so much of misunderstanding can come. Guru also is there to cover. And God is there to guide us, provided we are sincere. That is the meaning of Sri Ramakrishna saying, somebody has started, has a deep desire to visit Puri, and he prayed to Jagannatha's grace, but believing that moving towards the north is the way. Of course, if we are in South India, we should not move south, we should move north. If we are in the North India, we have to move to the south. So this person from Calcutta, he started coming to the north, but he was very sincere. How do we know? He was asking, sir, I want to go to Puri. Is this the right way? And God himself comes to him and says, no, no, you have taken a wrong direction. You have to go towards the south, and very soon you will reach. How soon? Don't have the misunderstanding that asking like this, he will reach. Okay, he will reach, but he will reach after a long time. No, he will reach even quicker than before, because God will somehow make it very, very quick. Like Zorudasa wanted to go to Vrindavan. He was born blind, and on the way, somehow he was unable to move, because with his stick he found out that it was a deep valley. One step forward, he will die. Then he prayed to Krishna. Krishna teased him at first, and then he said, you old blind fellow, you have no common sense. You want to go to Vrindavan? And then he pulled him, go this way. He pushed him, and he disappeared. Then Sordas realized, as God himself has come. You know what happened? Sordas took a few steps, started hearing some people talking. He went and asked, sir, I want to go to Vrindavan. Can you direct me how I should travel? And he said, my dear sir, you are in Vrindavan. Then Sordas' devotion increased. God himself had transported him. They say, Krishna transported your Sudama also in the same way. They say Ramanujacharya was also transported to his own place by Bhagavan Vishnu. Anyway, these are all direct spiritual experiences of great souls. So, yoga means what? That opening the eyes and every second analyzing whether we are traveling towards the right direction or not, and are there any dangers? Keep your eyes open, and all that is called yoga. That which takes us nearer to God, unites us with God, is called yoga, be it through karma, bhakti, jnana, or raja yoga. And then, what is it that supports everything? Maha puchyam pratishta. Puchyam means tail. Here the imagery of the bird comes. Just as a tail guides a bird while flying up or down, left or right, etc. So, maha. Maha means Mahat Brahma. Mahat Brahma is Hiranyagarbha's highest manifestation. So, God's grace is very necessary. These are the characteristics. What is it? Shraddha, Vritam, Satyam, Yoga, God's grace. Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. And in support of this, there is one shloka. So, I am not done yet. There is something most marvelous for us to understand. So, we will talk about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.